The first sif was about the bracha. The second two, the next two sifim, sifim beis and gimel, sim reish beitas, figuring out ezehu mekom kviyasa, figuring out where are you going to position it, how high, how deep, left side, right side. Vigorous discussion last week about the many approaches in Rishonim to the sugya of Hekir Tzir, and to an extent to the sugya of the Kitonio Zikar. Figuring out how you determine left and right in obvious situations. And grateful to Stephen and Tovia for furthering the conversation.
Mm-hmm. I
spilled
a lot of luck last night in the library.
Good. Like once you start learning Hilchos Mezuzah, you mamash look at space differently. It's one of those areas of halacha. It's not just illuminating of itself. It changes the way you look at, you know, the way the Rav describes in halachic man. That the lamdin, the halachic man doesn't just see water coming out of the ground; he sees a chalash shemayim. It gives you lenses of which look at reality. Hilchos Mezuzah definitely shapes the way you think about space, and therefore you will look at doorways and rooms and buildings differently. Within the new, you see them, but you see them with a new layer of awareness. Amen. It's like milsa l'rami le'dinish la'avadayte. The Gemara says if you're not attuned to something, you won't notice it. You may walk by that door 20, 30, 50, 100 times. You never even attuned to it because it wasn't on your radar screen. All of a sudden now you're seeing it everywhere. You'll see interesting Hilchos Mezuzah trials all over the place. So those are the first three se'ifim, sort of the preparation for the Kaviyas HaMezuzah. I'm going to say the bracha in advance. I said that right before. And obviously going to figure out location, and just to think for about that for a moment, put the two pieces together. Obviously, you're going to want to, because you want to say the bracha over La Siyasa, you want to have everything ready in advance. In other words, you're not, unless you're really crackerjack, you're not going to, on the spot, be figuring out exactly where you're locating all your mezuzahs. So you're going to spend some time, potentially, sitting down with a Mor HaRav beforehand to figure out your left and right shilas, and certainly measuring and thinking about the Tzil Shishalion and so on and so forth. And then once everything is all set and you know how many mezuzahs you need and you have what mezuzahs ready, then over La Siyasa, as opposed to over Dover, or immediately before you put up, you have your mezuzah in place, you're ready to attach it, you make a bracha, you attach right away. And how do you attach it? Kate said, Kova Shofar Otok asks in Se'if Dalid, so that's how exactly you attach it. So there's two, as you saw, there are two levels to that. There's the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli at the very beginning of the Kviyas Mezuzah Sugyas and Namibes and Beis talks about it being Kavua as opposed to Toli B'makil. You have it leaning there with a, you have a mezuzah on a stick. You want to, the Gemara says that these religious government agents who had to travel a lot on business, but they wanted to have the feel of mezuzah, because otherwise they would be mezuzahless for months and months and months and months. They didn't want that, so they had imitation mezuzah. There was no kiyam mitzvah in that. So Beis Munbaz is a Jewish king, a significantly powerful Jewish king at the end of something, the end of the Bayit Sheni period. So his chavra had this traveling mezuzah, which the Gemara stresses, you're not yotze anything. The reason it was on a stick was that they wanted to have mezuzah with them, but they couldn't actually attach it to the dory because they were coming and going. It would be there for a day or two, whatever it was, and they would leave. But the reason why they had it on a stick is because you just had a mezuzah without a stick, well, you're going to put it on the floor. Someone is leaving the floor. Number two, it's below the Shlosha Elyons, it's garnished. They wanted to have some way, a convenient, quick way to hang a mezuzah, get a mezuzah to suspended in the air next to the doorway at the proper height. So you have a mezuzah on it. You have a stick with a mezuzah on the top, or maybe the stick was all the entire height of the doorway, and the mezuzah was two-thirds of the way up. You come in, you shove your stick next up against the doorway, and here you have your instant mezuzah. Instant mezuzah, you're not yotze anything. Because the Gemara says, it has to be kavua. The fact that that's certainly the way the Torah understands that Gemara. It has to be attached as opposed to just next to the doorway. And then the Rambam quotes Yerushalmi, which the Mechaber quotes, Masmirena b'masmirim. and it needs to be not only attached but firmly attached. We need to nail it into the door. Or you could drill a hole in a groove into the doorway and attach it. Either way, the mezuzah is going to be firmly in place. If you have a drill a hole, so the mezuzah itself may be loose, but it's not going anywhere. You have a hole, you put the mezuzah in. And it's good. There's a shach, has a sock, which is not widely accepted. The shach writes in Katan Zion, Masmerim, he says, but if you're only planning to be there temporarily, you don't need the nails. And Nasner Shalom with the Shah, then in Sarah Lubo, Masner, King Kasav Abach, Miri Shalom, Yehovah Zadar points out that many disagree with this and say it has to be attached in a permanent way. In truth, if you look in the Yerushalmi, it's very possible Yerushalmi sounds like the Chovas Hadar, that it needs to be well attached regardless of whether you plan to be there for a long time or not. But what talk is that it's if you're planning to need the mezuzah up just for a short time? So what are you going to do? As an aside, why would you need a mezuzah up just for a short time? All right, so either because you want to mezuzah up now, but we figure, like we talked about last week, and we think that we may have to switch things up, or because I'm not planning to be here for a long time. Let's say I'm going to be in this place for 2 weeks.
Is there a difference between
mezuzah? If it's a rental, so we'll get to that. Reish Tayal, but rental, the Gemara says I'm not chayv mezuzah unless it's a 30-day or more rental. If I own the property, even though I'm there for the day, I could be there for a day, I'm going to be chayv. So, or if it's a rental, I'm renting a summer home for 5 weeks. I'm coming and going. I may not have the right even to nail anything into the doorway. I'm certain that plan to leave the mezuzah behind. We'll get to that Rish Tayyaf as well, whether you're supposed to leave the mezuzah behind or not. But if the people coming in after you are not necessarily Shomrei Mitzvah who will value a mezuzah, so then you're not allowed to leave the mezuzah behind. You owe it to the mezuzah to take it with you, so it's not... Not disrespected when you leave. So what are you going to do? So the answer is you have to figure a way to attach it that's not going to leave a mark. A shachapot to the rav, he thought that scotch tape is considered to be a kavias bechozik. If you peel it, it comes off. But you put up with scotch tape unless it's very heavy. If it's not heavy, put up with scotch tape and leave it alone, it could stay there for years. The Rebbe thought that was entirely appropriate. The Chovas Hadar quotes, one of the Hungarian Achronim says, it has to be metal nails. Like a Hakpada, I don't know if it's Kabbalah. That is not, unless if you're of Hungarian extraction, you follow Hungarian poskim, so then maybe there's something to be machmer for. But otherwise, I don't think that's...
What are the old ways of doing temporarily, though, then?
What?
What are, like... ways you would do temporarily, what would be considered a temporary method of attaching to a doorway?
I mean, what's not good?
Yeah.
Something that's not going to stick for a long time.
So I mean, the only thing I think would be
sap.
Tree sap. Okay. If you build a wilderness shelter, and you have that, it's your own property. If you own a large wilderness property and you build a wilderness shelter, so you can be there for a day, you have a mezuzah. So the tree sap would not be. So you have to drill into the doorposts to put the mezuzah in. Yeah.
I feel like scotch tape, the least sticky type of tape, like that maybe would be something that would fall off after a couple of days. Like duct tape, I hear. Or where does he get? Where does he grow up and get scotch tape?
Why is that like deer? Really strong.
Postal tape.
Well, the masking tape, which is the paper one, the scotch is the plastic one.
There's the office one that like is always at the library that never works, and there's always like a better scotch tape.
Yeah, there's the clear one.
The name brand scotch
tape. Yeah, it feels like this is like the 21st century equivalent of the Mishnayos and the Medlikin. Like here are oils that work really well, here are oils that work okay, but they sometimes sputter. Here are like excellent wicks, and here it looks to sometimes sputter. So we look at those Mishnayos. We're not holding an oil and wick, so we don't know the difference between cottonseed oil and this type of oil, and wicks may have algae, like we have no shaykhs. But we have shaykhs to you know, the brand name Scotch tape versus the generic private label Scotch tape. It has to be, if it's the sort of stuff that can, you know, if it's the sort of tape that after a year would dry up and fall off, maybe that's not considered curious. But how is it? You have good tape that could last for a long time. It doesn't have to be fancy. And the fact that you could peel it off doesn't mean it's not behosic. I could also pry out nails. Right. You know how to use the back of a hammer, a claw, 1, 2, 3, and especially a block of wood to help you, 1, 2, 3, and it's out. It doesn't have to be, behosic doesn't mean it's not removable. Behosic means that left alone, it will endure. Yeah.
How do we get to the point where it wasn't like Bedavka nails? Like the Yerushalmi said nails and Rambam said nails. Like, why are we saying
that? They said nails, but then they also taught me, I mean, how do you know that we shouldn't all follow this Hungarian post that the nails are nothing? The answer, part of the answer is, because Shulchan Aruch goes on to quote, you could also have the, based on the Gemara, you could also, you know, drill a hole in the, drill a groove in, where that doesn't involve any nails at all. That's why the idea that you, there's a requirement to have metal involved with your kriyas and mezuzah, that's very difficult. Let's say you have, what comes up sometimes is, there's some mezuzah cases that come with a double-sided side, a piece of double-sided tape as backing already pre-attached. And they have those like metal mezuzah cases that are supposed to be waterproof, and then they have like the tape pre-attached. So sometimes those aren't so... So the double-sided tape sometimes is a lot less durable than just good postal tape or Scotch tape. That stuff, taka sometimes doesn't really last. So if that's the case, then the taka, you're not yotze.
How do you know, like, if it will last or not?
Yeah, see if it seems like quality tape or not. Yeah. Or else you experiment and you find out.
But in all seriousness, but if you find out, if you thought that it was the chosek, and then afterwards it turns out it wasn't the chosek, it falls down, do you have to make another problem?
Yeah, for sure. For at least one reason. You could say that maybe you weren't yotze in the first place, but certainly when the full shlo the dots, I mean that's what the poskim spoke about, just like with the talis. If I take it off the kavana, if I take it off intentionally, and my intent is to put it back soon afterwards, then I don't have to make a bracha. But if it falls off on its own, there is no intent. So then even falls for a second. Even if Baruch Hashem, I was in place to catch it on the way down, I have to make a bracha on it. But for a fraction of a second, I have to make a new bracha. Yeah.
How kavua does it have to be? Just that it won't fall down or that it's stuck in place? Let's say only one of the nails was still there, so it could swing, but it's still on the wall.
I think that's covered for the mezuzah, you should put it into place, and maybe for the issue we'll get to in terms of how it's supposed to hang. Mm-hmm. But lechaora, that is kavua. It's hard to say kavua means that you need two nails as opposed to one nail.
Right, I mean, does it have to be kavua in place or just kavua on the door?
I feel it just means it has to be kavua on the door. Yeah.
How long? So if the tape's gonna fall off after 5 years, does that mean it's not
clear?
What's
the shear? Yeah. I don't know. My intuition would be the difference between a couple of months and a couple of years, but I'm not sure. I couldn't prove it to you, nor am I able to furnish you with a precise shear. But my intuition would be it lasts for 5 years. That's quite kavua. It lasts for 5 months. That feels a little more like Meirosh. It was not attached so firmly. And then the second half of Sif Dalid in the discussion of the putting up with a groove, and that by the way, that this Yachbor Bar Chafira, we have archaeological remains of that. Harry Hirschfeld, in his book, shows you pictures of the groove that was clearly meant for a mezuzah. And he works a lot with Mishnayos. He relates that to a Mishnah that talks, I think, one of the Mishnayos about Vasra, maybe that mentions mezuzah. Ah, see? There's your mezuzah. Maybe it mentions the Mishnah Menachos. You drill a hole, you put the mezuzah into the hole. And then you have the din. From the Gemara, that it needs to be toch tefach lepesach. That if your mezuzah is more than a tefach away from the door space, then you're not yotzei. That's going to come up, like we spoke about the other week, that's going to come up whether you're drilling into a door like this, you drill the hole, or whether you're putting the mezuzah on the side. Like we spoke about the two approaches to what you should do with a door that opens outward, whether you want to put the mezuzah here or here. You want to put the mezuzah on the outside, so you also want to make sure that you don't put it too far down. You want it to be toch tefach to the Pesach. If it's more than a tefach from the door space, from the Chalal Pesach, then you have Yotze. That did, I don't know if you spoke about it the other week, it sounds like a type of lavud. So I think the number, Acharon pointed out, that outside of mechitzos is often the general lavud-like idea. Is often a tefach. A number of areas of halacha we talk about being within a tefach. Let's say there's machlokas Rashi Tosfos about hagbah. Speaking hagbah is supposed to be three tefach on the ground, one tefach on the ground. A few places talk about hagbah, one tefach and three tefach. Poseach tefach by alos. If it's within a tefach of each other, so that again, it could be that's a unique din to alos, or it could be that this is part of the general idea that in the world of mechitzas, you have lavud up to three tefachim. But in general, b'chal targula, you have a sort of a lavud, a sort of a concept of lavud of tefach. Within a tefach is in the neighborhood. So this seems to fit into that. The mezuzah has to be mezuzah on the Pesach. Doesn't it? So you could have imagined it has to be mamash on the Pesach, in the Pesach. No, it doesn't have to be in the Pesach. It could be right off of the, but you drilled into the doorway, so the mezuzah, the cloth is not located within the door space. But it's near the door space. Within a tefach of the door space, that's still mitzuref to the door space, but more than that. More than that, you tie, and he's clear that you talk na yotze. Yeah, then the Pesach Chuv and Sivkat and Hay raises the issue from the Yara Katana that you got to make sure if you're going to drill into the door space, into the doorpost, you have to make sure that your mezuzah is somewhat visible. That's something that comes up in Zimmer Reish Pei Vav also. You want the mezuzah to be visible. So if you have, normally you attach your mezuzah on the doorpost, you can see it clearly, you see the case at least. We'll see when we get to Zimmer Reish Pei Vav, the Pesach Chiyo quotes, ideally you want that type of mezuzah case. Ideally you want to have a clear mezuzah case, so you can actually see the cloth itself. I talk about some cases, if it's a place where there's often soils, so maybe you'd prefer to have it covered. But ideally, you want the mezuzah to be in your race. Ideally, the cloth itself, they didn't have lucite, but they talked about having a case that has some glass in it, so you can see through the glass. Bitkufas al-Talmud, this business of drilling a hole into the doorway, depending on how the hole was oriented, it may have just been putting a cloth, rolling the cloth up, putting it into the groove, and there it is. The groove holds it. You see the cloth itself. So ideally, you want to be able to see the cloth itself, but at the very least, you want to be able to see, if not the cloth itself, there's a case which is visible, so you know that they don't see the cloth, but that's the mezuzah. That's what the Pesachei Teshuvah quotes, Tivkan Hey, if you're going to drill a hole, and then you're going to drop your mezuzah into the hole, and then you're going to cover that hole up with a plug or something, you got to make sure that that should be nika or somewhat, to someone who's walking by, that there is a mezuzah. Again, this takes us back to the Tama Mitzvah, the Rambam sketches out, of a Jew being pogea b'yichud Hashem v'avasa every time he walks through a doorway. So it is, he assumes it's absolutely critical. It's fascinating, Yara Katana. He thinks you're mamish not yotze. He says, nogin hahamon. He says, the common practice, Yara Katana writes, and his time and place was to drill a hole into the door in the doorpost, put the mezuzah in, v'hi in an eris, v'nikar klal. Sounds like they would drill a hole, maybe like an L-shaped hole, slide the mezuzah in, and you can't see anything on the outside. So he said you got to make some sim. Fascinating. He thinks also, a chiddush l'kula, he thinks, but if there was some semen, say if you make some mark on the doorway, mezuzah is here, but then all of a sudden that saves the day, which is fascinating. You have to know a sign works as well, but that's his concern. You read the stories written about Jews who lived in Soviet Russia, so some of them did that. Some of them had a mezuzah, and what they did is they drilled a hole in the doorway, and they stuck a mezuzah, and then they carefully drilled so that they had a piece of wood that they could plug back in, And unless you knew what you were looking for, you would never ever know that this was there. But in fact, it was. Look very carefully, you could see the, you know, there's one little circle of wood that where the grain was a little off because that's where they put in the plug. Okay. And Sifhei addresses the issue that King comes up more than once or more than once over the course of these the and Masachas Menachas of Tasev Lom and Asli. Kevav and Mezuzas HaPesach Pa'oda Telusha V'yachach Chibra LaPesach Pesula. If I want to have, everyone likes to have everything pre-ordered, pre-made. So let's say we'll have Mahadrin Construction Company. That they have, and you can go to Home Depot and buy a doorway. You get a door with the doorpost pre-attached. It comes as a set, and you just install it. So they will offer as a service, and sometimes you go to a store and all the pans are pre-titled. So imagine you'll go to a Hamish Home Depot and the doorposts or the door sets already have the mezuzah pre-attached. So it seems very convenient. Shulchan Aruch says, according to Gemara, very convenient, so you realize that it's useless and you have to put mezuzah all over again, because that's classic Tasav Lom and Asa. I'm going to attach the mezuzah to the mezuzah, attach the cloth to the doorpost before the doorpost is attached to the house. So that's Tasav Lom and Asa, because Tasav Lom and Asa means they came up in the circle last year. There needs to be that the Mekayim, the mitzvah, the Kiyam mitzvah begins with my Maisa Kviyas. So just like if Mishnah is talking about I have a haystack, and I build a haystack, and then I dig out the middle. So now, indirectly, it comes out that now the top layer of the haystack is now the top of the rest of the space. But when I put the hay there initially, I was building the haystack, there was no empty space. So it only became Srach Kasher indirectly, not through a maisa happening to the by carving out the center, not by the hanachas asach. That's a violation. That's min ha'asay, as opposed to ta'. We require ta'asa as opposed to min ha'asay. That's the same issue here also. And that we saw that today, you saw the Gemara and Lama Gimel and Beis, clearly. And according to some Rishonim, it's also Gemara and Lama Gimel Amud Aleph. That was the Machlokas Rashi and Tosus. And when Rav Nachman says, I can't put out the Tels Reish Galusa, you just built a new house, I can't put out the mezuzah until you hang, until you take care of your door installations. As the Rambam says, because you need to have a door to be Chayav Mezuzah. Rashi Tosus debate. But the Tosis says that's through Hekar Tzir. Rashi said it's exactly this. Even according to Rambam, it's a similar thing. He thinks that you're attaching a mezuzah, it's also Tosis of Avodah Zarah. You're attaching a mezuzah to the house, to the doorway, the doorposts are already installed, attached to the house, but there's no door. And according to Rambam, that means there's no chayiv. Because the Rambam holds it without a door, you're not chayiv. So invite there a problem. Ta'asav alo min ha'asoy. Yeah, Pesachei Tshuva raises a practical question. Once again, according to the Yad HaKatan, the Sivkat and Zion, says, how do you install him, but the practicalities of installing a mezuzah? So if you're handy around the house, you know, sometimes I want to say, I want to put up some hardware, attach some hardware to the wall of my garage. So I want to have hooks, I want to organize the garage. So I'll put up hooks, I'll put up those things that can hold brooms, that can hold rakes, that can hold shovels. I want to install stuff in the wall of the garage. So depending on how do you attach something to a hard wall? He talks about a marble doorway. So sometimes it's easier, there are different ways you may want to use anchors. Sometimes it'll be easier to attach what you want to attach to a backing plank. You'll have a small piece of wood, attach it to a backing plank, and then you'll figure out how you can attach the backing plank to the harder surface. You have more room to work. So he quotes in here, Sifkan Zayin, what about if you're doing that with a mezuzah? I have a stone doorway, I have a marble doorway. Makum sheyesh l'gboa mezuzah al mezuzah mamish. A place where I can't put the mezuzah, I can't attach the mezuzah with a tube directly to the doorpost. Mezuzah bayis yishal avnei shayish. Marble doorways. So I'm tzrich la'asos tachavula. I need a trick, a device, a technique. What's the technique? I'm going to have a rectangular plank of wood, and then I can put the mezuzah on. So he says, the question is, so do I care in what order you do those two operations? I'm going to be attaching the wood either a backing plank, attaching a backing plank to the door post, to the doorway, and I'm attaching the mezuzah to the backing plank. So offhand, you would say, you gotta be careful, tassel amenasi. You gotta make sure, in other words, offhand, you would say, you have to attach the wood to the doorway first, and attach the mezuzah to the wood second. And that way, when you attach the mezuzah, that's the key of my mitzvah begins immediately with the act of kviyas mezuzah. Offhand, you would say, if you reverse it, then tell you the chnish. You reverse it, you're not yotzei, because if you attach the mezuzah to the wood first, that's mamish what we're talking about here. Now, the truth is, if you looked in Hirschfeld, he said that apparently what was common b'tkuvas HaMishnah was that you had these sort of thick, actually, I can draw a picture of this. You have like a stone walls, at least the houses that they have, archaeologists have, the ones that have lasted, where you dig up and find something, are the ones that have stone. And then you would install thinner piece of wood around here and around there and around there, and that was the mezuzah. And so you had sort of a skinny, much skinnier piece of wood that was installed attached to the thick stone walls, and you were attaching mezuzah to that. So that's what the Gemara was talking about. Those skinny pieces of wood need to be installed before you attach the mezuzah to the skinny piece of wood. You have to install the mezuzahs ha pesach first, then attach the mezuzah klaf to that. But the Yad HaKetanah writes, quote here in the Simchan Zayin Petchei Tshuva, hachamai eskinan, when you have a full-length door frame. I have a piece of wood that goes from floor to ceiling, or whatever, from the bottom to the top of the door frame, that full length, that is a problem of Talas Lamanosli. But he says, I just have a little piece of wood, the size of an index card, maybe, or something like that. That's not a problem, Tosinos. It's totally fine to attach, the more natural way to do it, probably, to attach the mezuzah to the backing plank first, and then take that whole chunk, put it up. So that's not Tosinos, because that's tafel to the mezuzah. The same way I could put the mezuzah into the tube first and attach the tube, that's tafel to the mezuzah. If I have a piece of wood that goes from the floor to the top of the doorpost, that's not tafel to the mezuzah klaf. That is the mezuzah. That is the mezuzah. That's the doorpost. If you have a little backing plank, that's all part of it. Now, this is all called the mezuzah. It's like a larger mezuzah case. That's just a tafel. Rabbi Kiva gets involved in more details. Rabbi Kiva Eger raises an interesting question. He points out his Machalokas HaPoskim. Gotta ask a Shiloh about this. Quotes in Maras Ason. Your Chedusha Rikiva Eger. This is a debate, I believe, in Chosukha also. I definitely cannot, in the workshop, have the door frame, the door set, lying on my work table, attach the mezuzah, and then take the whole thing and put it up. But how about if that's not the way it was? I had a door frame attached, installed in the house. And I put up a mezuzah. And then I have a problem with the door frame. I take the whole door frame off with the mezuzah. And then I later fix it, whether some tikkun needs to be made, need to replace something, whatever it is. Made to make the fix, and then put the whole thing back up. So that the Kager quote points out that this debate amongst the Achronim, what do you do with that? In other words, the original Asiya was proper. Because the original Asiya, I attached the mezuzah to the door frame originally in the normal way. The door frame was ready up. Then subsequently, I take the whole thing off and put the whole thing back on. You say, put the whole thing back on, now I have a taslam. Now it has a Lamanasi problem, or no, since the original act of Kvias was good, I'm covered the Elam Vat. So that's a debate that Achorim and other issues. Talas Lamanasi is very, 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 very rich. So you have to always have to be open for this, and sometimes you've got to ask B'Shalom. Some of the Talas of Lamanasi cases are complicated. One or two questions, and then let's see the final sit. Yeah.
But isn't that like Tlava Mako, though?
Tlava Maka would be And if I attach the mezuzah to a piece of wood, and then I take the piece of wood and I just lean it against the doorway, or I sort of like jam it in a little bit, but it's not actually attached, that's still al b'makel. What we're talking about here, I take a piece of wood, and I attach the mezuzah, and then I take that and I actually install it. In other words, I drill holes, and I nail that piece of wood to the doorway. That's not tefillah b'makel, that's real kavias. But there's still another problem with Tosfos and Masechta. I mean, you're saying tefillah b'makel is a double problem. Number one, it's not kavua, and number two, if it was kavua, it would be Tosfos and Masechta. Maybe. Okay, that's a good point.
Also,
what
does it mean that
the,
if you have an index card piece of wood, the wood is butta to the mezuzah? What does that mean?
I mean, if I have, even like this, let's say I have a piece of wood like this, I can't attach, it's hard to attach the wall directly to this because you need special screws maybe and anchors and to attach it here. So I can't just take the mezuzah and attach it over here. If I have a regular dory, that's not a problem. But if I have some sort of special type of dory material, harder dory material, so it'd be a lot easier to take the mezuzah, take a piece of wood like this, just nail up a simple piece of wood, I'll just knock nails in, I'll nail the mezuzah with the case to the piece of wood, and then I'll take this piece of wood and attach it with fancier screws to the door. You'll see if you walk into well-appointed garages, you'll see that the garages tend to have very hard walls, because they're not finished. And you'll see often if they have a well-appointed garage that actually has hooks that attach, typically it'll look like that. There's a piece of wood against the wall, and that wood is screwed in somehow to the wall, and then there's stuff attached to the wood.
Right, so what?
So that piece, but this piece of wood, we see this piece of wood as butel to the mezuzah. That's just a...
It's like a
fancier case. Remember, its whole purpose is just to enable the mezuzah to attach to the wall. As opposed to a full-length door frame, the purpose of a door frame is not just to attach the mezuzah. I mean, that's the famous meisah with various rabbis, Do you make a bracha in order to eat the apple? Do you eat the apple in order to make a bracha? So it is true to a certain extent, if you're a holy Jew, and we should all strive to be holy Jews, as I want to have a doorway in order to have a mezuzah. Especially if you move into an apartment that has weird architecture, and once you get to Simreish Pevav, there's some apartments where, like, there are missing mezuzah. This door is not built the right way, that door is not built. I wish I had a doorway so I could have a mezuzah. Okay. So that's very handy. But lamaisa in general, you do want to have a doorway so you can have mezuzah, but you don't only, the purpose of the door frame, a full-length door frame, is not just there for the mezuzah. It's there because I need a door frame. So that's why that's not a door, full-length door frame is not buttel to the mezuzah, but a little piece of wood would be. One more question. Yeah.
What if you only put up that wooden door frame in order to light the mezuzah? But aesthetically, you don't want a random plank of wood. You want a complete frame.
You're saying,
you wouldn't put it up otherwise. You're just stuck with the
you're
marble,
fine with just the
walls or whatever. Uh-huh. But since you put a mezuzah and you put a plank of wood, so you want a random speck of wood on your wall. You want to look nicer, seeing this whole thing around it.
I'm not sure. That's a good show. I'm not sure. My initial reaction would be that it's worth asking the shiloh. My initial reaction would be that intention only gets you so far. It's true, your intention is that, but Lamasa, this is a door frame. Right. You know, my kavana in putting up a door frame is the name of mezuzah, but Lamasa, this is a door frame. That's what it is. As opposed to, this is not a backing plane. That would be my initial gut reaction. And that if you were doing that, you should put in the frame first and put mezuzah second. And the last issue is the most contentious. This you saw, the Beis Yosef quotes, the Tosfos in the Mordechai, rich conversation. A machlokas, Rashi Ben Tam, the Gemara says very clearly, the mezuzah should be like this, and not like that. Like the sichta, the istavira, and the problem is we're missing the pictures. And we have the addition of that pictures. They said, mezuzah is like this, it's kosher, it's like that, it's pasul. So you saw the Gemara, and the Gemara gives descriptions, one of them means, presumably one of them means vertical, one of them means horizontal, it's not sure which is which. A peg, you mean like knocking a nail into the wall to hang a picture, or you mean like knocking a peg into the ground to hold the guidelines to support your tent? Well, the nail on the wall is horizontal, the nail on the ground is vertical, so which one do you mean? The istavira. Right, so, well, the human ankle, are you talking about the the shin, which is vertical, you're looking at the feet, which are horizontal, and that becomes the Amaram knew what they meant when they said this versus that. The problem is we're not sure. We're trying, so the Rishonim are trying to reconstruct what they mean. Both, as you saw, both in terms of figuring out what does the language mean? Can I prove what kesichta means? Can I prove what kesichta means? As well as, sort of bringing larger rayas, can I prove which one ought to be kasher or pasul? Can I prove that a sefer Torah oya, and it's a global machlokas, right? The machlokas is about sefer Torah and tefillin and mezuzah. Rabbeinu Tam, the Gemara says that istavir is kasher, kesichta is pasul. It's pasul if it's like a peg. But the Tam holds that means like the peg in the ground, a vertical peg. A vertical is no good. For all three, the Sefer Torah should lay a Sefer Torah down instead of having it standing. It's a lack of covet to have it to watch the Sefer Torah to stand. After all, that's what we do when we lay from the Sefer Torah. Ashkenazim lay from a horizontal Sefer Torah. Svardin had to keep the Sefer Torah vertical even when they're laying because you have the case that keeps it comfortably vertical at all times. Ashkenazim read from it horizontal, but we don't follow Rabbeinu Tam to put the Sefer Torah away horizontally. Nor do we follow Rabbeinu Tam to put the klaf and the tefillin horizontally. Even if you have Rabbeinu Tam tefillin means, practically speaking, Rabbeinu Tam tefillin means tefillin that follow Rashi on most issues, but follow Rabbeinu Tam on one particular issue. Mm-hmm. The difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin is the order. From right to left, from left to right, in the Shalrosh, you had four separate parshiyos, four separate boxes. In what order do you put them? How do you sequence Kashva, Kivya, Chashva, and Shema? The Gemara is a little complicated, and the Rashi and Tam two different ways of reading the Gemara. That's Rabbi Atam's film. So you see Chassidim wearing Rabbi Atam's film. You see an old tzaddik Chassid Ishmasa, whether it's Chassidish or not, wearing Tefillin Rabbi Atam. That means that the Tefillin have the parshiyos in that sequence. But for all other issues, I think. And say in the Vilna Gaon, if you're really going to be machmor fully for Rashi Ben Tam, you end up with 64 pairs of tefillin, because that's two to the six. Like, I think there are six different machloksin. If you want to do all the possibilities of Rashi Ben Tam, you end up. So one of the six issues is the Seder HaParshas. Another one of the six issues is this: is when you roll up the Parshas and put them in, do you put them in rolled up like this or like that? Can't tell from the outside. But when you open up the tefillin, you can see. So we do not. Lamasa, we all follow Rashi in terms of that the parshas are like that. When you open up a tefillin, you see what looks like a roll. You don't see the side. And it's an issue in the world of mezuzah. And that's where would be the most visible. How do you put up every mezuzah? Is it supposed to be vertical? Is it supposed to be horizontal? Is vertical puzzle or is horizontal puzzle? That's the way that machlokas is often presented, whether vertical is possible or horizontal is possible. The Shechter points out to machlokas how you put this form. It's machlokas how you organize form in your bookshelf. According to Rabbeinu Tam, l'chora, taking Rabbeinu Tam to the theological extreme, so then all the form in the bookshelf. So usually they measure a mix of both, right. So we're not, they don't have Kedusha Sefer Torah, so we're not machbid, every single Sefer has to be standing. From a point of view of neatness, usually in a bookshelf, you want things to be standing.
That Torah for Nach, like most of Nach, if you go to
any... Even Nach, yeah, most...
You always lay them down, they're almost always laid down in a shul.
Right,
shelf.
It's rare to see a shul that has a Aram for Nach that allows it to stand. There you go. In Chispin also, I think they have a separate... The Kelly Rios, it's only Hakpata for Sefer Torah. Now, in terms of coming back to Mezuzah, and you saw it when you work your way through the Beis Yosef, so he lays out four approaches how the mezuzah is supposed to look. And whether it's supposed to look, Rashi says it should be vertical, the mezuzah or the Tam should be horizontal, and then they quote, I think, from the Maharam, right, that they do talk about an L shape, and then some of the Sharon talk about the Shipua. And then Shulchan Aruch, they talk about Lamasa, we passing like Rama says, we passing like Rashi, but maybe let's make a pshar. So let's take a look.
Why don't we follow the L shape? I mean, a lot of people seem to be bringing down that L shape.
The L shape has some way of, and it sounds like another pshar. Tzrich Elias Zekuf, let's see, Shulchan Aruch says, Tzrich Elias Zekuf, Arkel Aruch Mezuzah HaPesach. You have to have the mezuzah standing vertically. Rashi, Rambam, absolutely vertical, no horizontal, end of story. That's the Vilna Gaon Paschal's like that as well. Vilna Gaon says, absolutely, it should be, that's what I think they quote in the Maaseh Rav. Yeah, so Pesach Chuv, Sukhaim Ches, point says that the Vilna Gaon held like Rashi, and you have Bahan Haga Shalom. Haga Shalom, I believe, is a reference to Maaseh Rav, which is the safer that because Talmidim collected all the Vilna Gaon's personal practices. He has this standing straight and tall. No angle, no nothing, straight and tall, absolute. So the Mechaber passes, like Rashi and Rambam. And the Chei Nagu, you see this, the funny line, the Chei Nagu and the Rambam, the Chei Nagu, and here's what we do.
Explain on the bottom.
Right, so the Shach says, the Chei Nagu, you see, the Rambam says the Chei Nagu, and the parenthesis is the Beis Yosef. So Shach explains, that he's quoting the Beis Yosef says that in Sephardic areas, which is where the Beis Yosef was from, the practice was to follow Rashi, Rambam, and have it vertical. Etc. The rest of the Ramah is v'chein nogu v'dinos elu. Now the Ramah is switching to what's the practice in Ashkenazi communities. Yesh Omrim shapsul b'zkufa. And the Tam says vertical is absolutely possible. El tzrichli is shechuva. Has to be horizontal. Orkel arocham is the pesach, with the length of mezuzah along the width of the doorpost. The hamidaktikim, yotzin deshneim. Those who want to be machmir will follow both. And here, by the way, is where the Vilna Gaon also writes. In the end of Sifkan Yadalid, Vilna Gaon's hamidaktikim, at the end of that Sifkatan, he says, Avoladina kaimelan kirashi. But we actually pass on Grash. The Vilna Gaon says, no, pass on Grash. The Ramah says, okay, the Ramah does not follow that. He says, better be to be have both. Menichem aso b'shipu v'alachsim beretav v'adayagimel. V'chein roi linok. And that's what the Ramah recommends. V'chein nogim v'dinos elin. Practically speaking, that is what is common in Ashkenaz. You have it at an angle. It should be noted that we do it at an angle. That's this mezuzah and almost every other mezuzah you've seen, is at an angle that's meant to be a pshar between these two. Between Rashi and Rama on the one hand, who require that it be vertical, and the Tam, who require that it be horizontal. Some sort of point out, one second, what are we gaining?
It's neither.
Not vertical, not horizontal. So what have you gained? So the answer is twofold. Number one is that it may be built on the assumption, as I was saying before, not so much that only vertical is kosher, only horizontal is kosher, but that vertical horizontal is possible. That Rashi holds that horizontal is possible, and that Tam holds vertical is possible, so let's do it like this, so it'll be neither vertical nor horizontal. Now, of course, if you formulate it as Rashi holds that only vertical is kosher, and not only horizontal is kosher, if you're going, sometimes when you try to compromise, you make no one happy. Right. So the second part of the answer to your question is we don't do it at a 45 degree angle. That's incorrect. We do it at vertical, with a slight tilt. Because Mikra didn't we do Pasul like Rashi. We're Machmer to try to cover Ben Tam, so maybe we'll satisfy Ben Tam if we tilt a little bit. Maybe Ben Tam held just that vertical is Pasul, not that Dafka horizontal is kosher. So we take a vertical and we tilt it somewhat. Maybe we can chaper on Tam also. But Mikraidin, we paskin like Rashi. The Mechaber, the Vilna Gaon, absolutely paskin like Rashi. But that was quoted, again, that was the Vilna Gaon, the end of Sifkat Yidalad, quoted as well in Pitzchay Chuva Sifkat Ches. And Pitzchay Chuva, even leaving that out, even if you're following classic Ramah, Ashkenazi following classic Ramah, Pitzchay Chuva Sifkat Ches quotes once again from the Yadak Tana. That this is all well and good if you have ample room on your doorway, so you like there you can afford to put in a little bit of a tilt. But let's say you have a very, very narrow doorway. The Amish just have enough space to say, look, they're correct, and we pass them like Rashi.
What would you have done if you had passed them like
Rashi? Oh, well, if you had passed them like Rashi, we probably would drill in. So that the...
Can you put it in?
So if you read the Beis Yosef slowly and carefully, it seems like there are two different versions of how to understand the Tom. We may or may not be arguing whether, you know, thinking about the Tom is kacha, is along the width of the doorpost, or you drill, you penetrate, you drill a hole straight, a tunnel, straight into the doorway, and you slide sort of like, you know, MRI or CAT scan, just slide your mezuzah in. Sorry? Right, so you would need the tip of your mezuzah to be the end of your mezuzah should be close to the door.
Be a simen or something, right?
Right, and also you need to be tov tefach samos l'pesach. Okay, to make sure you don't make the hole too deep. Right, you know how long your mezuzah is, so don't drill a hole that's a tefach longer than the length of your mezuzah. That way it'll stay close. Now another issue that comes up. So that's why Nikkei pasta like Rashi. We're Machmer in Tom. So that's why, number one, we don't make it a 45-degree angle. It's basically vertical, a little bit of a tilt. Number two, that's why the Pesach Tshuva says, Nikkei Adin, when you're stuck, you would put it straight. Oh, and you asked, well, what else would I have done? The Pesach Tshuva himself, I'm sorry, said... The solution, meaning Rabbi Yonatan himself might have said, just drill straight in, go horizontal. As Ashkenaz were trying to do both, this alternative could have been to put it on the wall so you can get your tilt. Right? So that's what the Pesach Shua quotes. Would rather it be within the Chalal Pesach itself, even if that means giving up Rabbi Yonatan. If there's exactly enough room in the Chalal Pesach, a door like this, and maybe no room in Chalal Pesach because it's flush with the front. Let's say there is some room, but just enough for the width of the mezuzah, not enough to get a tilt. So, Chalal HaPesach is more important than Ben Tam. We're Machmer Ben Tam when we can. But to beat Toch Chalal HaPesach, if all you have is to put it straight, then better to put it straight, but within the Chalal HaPesach, than to get your angle. But not be on the wall side instead of the Chalal HaPesach. Now, another one of the issues that comes up is this idea of this Yerushalmi about having the Shema Letzad Chutz, which as you saw, Tosafot points out, can mean one of two different things, and we're machmir for both. It may depend whether you're following Rashi or Matan. So we're machmir for both Perushim. Number one, that's the end of the Mechaber, when you put up a mezuzah, even the way you put the cloth into the case matters, because you want the edge of the cloth to be facing into the door space. In other words, when you put a slide mezuzah into cloth, the edge of the roll of the cloth should be on the side of the case that faces away from the back. You want it to be...
The edge
of the cloth is where the word Shema is. That's the way you roll it. You roll it from left to right. So the edge has Shema. You should put it up so it would be like this, with that edge facing into the door space, as opposed to the edge facing against the door post. That's number one. Says the Chaver quotes. And the Ramah says, plus, if you're according to a Tam that's mamash horizontal, or for us where we angle it somewhat, you want the top end, the Shema end, to be the end that's pointing inward. So that's why when you put up a mezuzah, you put it up like this and not like that. You have the tilt to say if you're facing the mezuzah, the tilt is from upper left to lower right. Because the upper end, which is Shema, is pointing into the room. Right. You don't have it like that. And we do both. So we put mezuzah like this. The edge is facing out, and the top end is tilted towards the room that you're entering into. One last tidbit that I will leave you with. We have the alachza, the diagonal approach as a pshar between Rashi and Tam. Some other Rishonim did mention the Meshupa as pshat in the Gemara. Not as a pshara, a way of satisfying both Rashi and Tam, But that's what the Gemara actually meant, lechatchila. And what's fascinating is if you look in Hirschfeld, I apologize, I don't have it with me, so he shows you this picture of this excavated house, and you see the doorway, and he shows you there's the groove for the mezuzah. He mentioned, you have Mishnayos talk about mezuzah. What he fails to mention, he may not have been familiar, or may have been sensitive, was in Mitzel Ramelei Deinish as we began, we'll end where we began. Mitzel Ramelei Shnava Daite. Until you're attuned to it, you can see it and not notice it. The groove is, this groove, which is around 2,000 years old, is diagonal. I saw that, wow! That was exciting. I thought, that sheet of the Beis Yosef, of course.
And it's diagonal the right way?
I believe so.
Can we bring it in?
Yeah, believe that. I meant to bring it today. I got to find it in the library.
Which Sefer is
this? This is the Yitzhar Hirschfeld. This is not a Sefer Kodesh. Yitzhar Hirschfeld is a archaeologist in Eretz Yisrael. I forget what university he teaches at. Yeah, I believe so. It's Palestinian dwellings in the Roman period. Otherwise known as...
You can see it. If you go in the old city, like, I think by the airport, they still have Arab houses now, but you can see the whole...
Right, so those are probably 100 years old. Right. This, 200 years old. This is 2,000 years old.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's how we should paskin. That means that someone did that 2,000 years ago. Okay, that's what comes up in Hilchas Tefillin, actually in discussion about Rashi Ben Tam, the Seder HaParashas. But so the quotes from the later Rishonim that they had some archaeological evidence. They've dug up what they believe was Kever Yecheskel. They found a whole trove of Tefillin that had been buried. That where the Seder HaParashas were in Tam. So then there's a vigorous debate among poskim as to what extent do we value archaeological evidence in be machria machlokas. Now part of the issue, as some poskim point out, is an issue on Yom HaZeh. Archaeological evidence, you have a certain amount of data, and then you're making a leap with the data to what you believe, you extrapolate what you think was actually going on, because you only have some material evidence remains. So, for instance, some post went that well, that means that someone had a tefillin like this. But the tefillin, you found a trove of tefillin buried in the kever, that means it was put into Seamus. Well, why was it put into Seamus? Because they wore out, or because they were made incorrectly? So, it means that someone made tefillin like this, but who? If it's a machlokas now, it could have been a machlokas 100 years earlier also. We don't say paskin that way. And who lived in this house? Was it a tzduki? I don't know who lived in the house, but if you amass more evidence, if it's not one house, but it's hundreds of homes, or it's a very high percentage of hundreds of homes throughout the country, that already makes a stronger case. But it certainly does seem, it can't necessarily be covered that that's how the Sanhedrin held at the time, but we can be covered that there were people who, B'tkuva Samishna, were put up a mezuzah, like this. That's certainly, the issue is not young. So that is certainly fascinating. This Baruch Hashem, we've been completed the Sim and Resh Bei test together. We're going to pick up this coming week. We're going back to Sim and Resh Bei Vav. Resh Bei test has been about Kfiyas and Mezuzah. Resh Bei Vav is going to we're going to go straight to this point, Resh Bei Vav, Resh Bei Zayin, and then maybe one sif in Resh Bei Ches, and then Resh Sariel. Resh Bei Vav, Resh Bei Zayin together are the halachas of when are you chayav mezuzah? Are you looking at what does it take, what are the requirements for a room and for a door, structural requirements and new functional requirements in order to be chayav in mezuzah? Very, very rich, but even more of the shilas are in Resh Bei Vav than they are in Resh Bei Ches in terms of practical shahs that come up. Resh Bei Vav also is going to be shifting our focus from Menachas only to Yuma as well. The two major sugyas in the Bavli of Mezuzah, the major sugya in the Yerushalmi is the end of Megillah that we saw a little bit of. The two major locations in the Bavli are Menachas, Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dalet, and Yuma, Yudalef Yudbeis. Yuma Yudalef Yudbeis has not really been relevant in Simon Resh Bei Tes, but it's about to become very relevant In terms of what sorts of rooms and doorways are chayav and pater, that begins, we will be seeing coming back to the sugyas of Menachos over the course of Siman Reish Rabbah as well. We'll be seeing a little bit of the Masechah Sukkah, and there'll be a lot of emphasis, a lot of weight, and the opening of the Siman is going to be the sugya and Yuma. So we're going to mention this coming week, and we're going to start by spending some time looking at the Gemaras and Yuma, as we did when we started Reish Rabbah. And then we're going to get into, I look forward to giving a fresh Mayim Kamos. It should be exciting. Moving on to a new vista within the Deen. Ashkar Chavim.